Hello,
Everyone, come on in. How's everybody doing tonight? We are right in the thick of the holidays, aren't we? Hello, you can hear me okay? Just want to make sure you can give me a thumbs up or tell me in the chat. Thank you. Yes, awesome. I will remind you all to make sure your chat box, the little blue box in your chat, is set to everyone. I won't be checking it much, but if you want others to see what you're saying, you might want to make sure your chat box is set to everyone. Hello. This is open coaching, so if you would like to be coached, please raise your hand. I like to focus things on how to feel the hard stuff. And usually, honestly, it comes back to that anyway. When we are uncomfortable and we are dealing with situations or people or, things in our environment that make us uncomfortable, this is where we have opportunities to just kind of sit with the feelings and learn from them and to not distract by eating. So, a lot of things come back down to feelings. And I work with my private clients a lot on this type of work and doing feelings work because we are humans and we are going to have feelings. And I use this analogy with someone today. If we didn't have feelings, our lives would be like that old black and white movie, right? Not a lot of color, just very kind of gray. And then when we add feelings to the mix, we start to colorize. We colorize our world, our life, the way we think, the way we react. It's very interesting to think of it in those terms, right? Okay, so I have one hand raised. Christy, it's you. It'll be a short call. Nobody else answers their raises their hand. So let's see what we got here. Christy, I just did something really weird. I just hit the wrong button. So let's see what this does for us. I'm bringing you up as a panelist. Curious to see what just happened to my screen because I hit a bad button, y'all. Hit a bad button. Good. Excellent. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. It's good to see you. Where are you
Thank you.
from?
Australia. Oh, look, I'm already crying, and it's not actually a big deal. But this
Okay.
is why I am here. Oh,
Well,
sorry,
you
my
know
AirPod
what?
just fell out.
There's nothing wrong with crying. Okay.
My 2025 goal, I was listening to Corinne, and I'm writing down the habits are really great. And the habits that I would like to work on. And I would really like to work on my worry, and my catastrophizing of my daughter.
Okay. Tell me about her.
She is six, and recently diagnosed with ADHD. We've just started medication. She is behind at school, like struggling at school because of her previous inability to focus. I'm a teacher, so I can actually help her now that she's focusing. But in my head, I just overly worry and I go down hypothetical hell, and I just don't want to do that anymore. But I need help in stopping doing that.
Okay. Tell me her name.
My name is Madeline.
Madeline. What a sweet name. Okay. So we have
Oh.
little 6-year-old Madeline who's been diagnosed with ADHD.
Yes.
You're a teacher.
Yes.
And so you can obviously see all the things that, all the learning challenges, all the things that are going to go wrong, right?
Sorry, Mummy's just on a call, babe. I'll be with you in just a moment. Off you go. Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. So is that why you're catastrophizing?
Yes. Yeah, big time. Close my door, please. Sorry. Close my door. Good girl. Close the door. We did just have a discussion that mom was on a meeting. Good girl. Sorry, she's good now. She's got the dog.
What do you teach?
I teach primary school, but I'm a relief teacher now. So I just go in, teach, and then I come home, which is really nice.
Okay. Have you ever had kids with ADHD or dyslexia or any kind of learning disabilities in your class?
Yes.
And have they all been disasters?
No. not at all. And as a teacher, like I've been able to help them and guide them through, but they have all, normal's the wrong word, but they've all had extra challenges than the other kids.
Okay, so if Madeline did not have ADHD, what would you catastrophize about?
Probably everything else.
Right.
Yeah, probably anything or everything.
Yeah, so this is what we do as moms. If we like our kids, we care about them, we want them to be productive humans, right?
Yeah.
So let's normalize that for a minute. Let's just say, of course, I worry about Madeline. She's my baby. I want her to be a happy, healthy, prosperous, productive human.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. The thing about worry and catastrophizing, even anxiety, you ever feel a little anxiety about it?
Yeah,
Yeah,
sometimes.
is that it's all based in the future. Based in the future. When we worry, when we catastrophize, we are creating for ourselves, I call them open loops. They're questions to answer, answers there. We're asking ourselves questions we cannot answer. And usually they start with what if? Well, what if she doesn't learn to read on time? What if she, acts out in school? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if, right? Give me an example of a what if question that you ask yourself about her.
What if the kids start to get mean
Okay.
because she's behind? Like at the moment she's in year one, and when she's like she's got tools and the kids are really kind about it. But I really worry as she gets older that the kids won't be as kind, and then that I worry that she'll get bullied or that she'll feel out of place
Okay, so
because she's different.
what will you do if she gets bullied?
The
For
thing is,
whatever reason.
in logical, she's not going to get bullied at this school. It's a beautiful school. Like the kids are really understanding. It's a
Okay.
small school. Like logically, it's not actually going to happen. But my brain just goes in this worry loop. I'm like,
Okay. So if you answer your brain, if your brain is saying, what if she gets bullied because she's a little behind? The
yeah.
answer is, wait a minute, girl, Christy,
Oh.
chances are really low that she's going to get bullied. Let's find something else to think about.
Yeah, okay.
Because I've put her in the right school. I'm taking care of her at home. I'm teaching herself, I'm teaching her resilience. I'm teaching her XYZ, all these things. Because when you answer the question, it kind of takes the temperature down on it, doesn't it?
I think you've just like answered my whole, because I've been journaling on it, but I haven't been answering my questions. So I
Yeah.
think you've just like unlocked what I need to do next.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, thank you.
Yeah. So, what if she falls behind in school? What will you do?
I can tutor her. Now that she's on the medication, she can actually take it in. So we're on school holidays in Australia for the next 7 weeks, and Mads and I are doing half an hour of schoolwork a day to bridge her gap. So by the time she starts school again next year, because we don't go back until February, the gaps are going to be significantly bridged because she's only been on the medication for 2 months and her growth has been massive. So she's probably not going to be as behind as I think she is by next year.
Yeah, and how do you feel when you say that?
Empowered and peaceful.
Oh.
I'm
So when we
sorry.
worry, that's okay. When we worry, when we catastrophize, the easiest thing to do is respond to the worry. Okay,
Okay.
especially if it's, and if you can frame it in a what if question, what if this
Yeah.
happens? What if she gets sick? What if, whatever? What if we run out of medication? What are you going to do? I'm going to go to the pharmacy, Kathy.
Again, some more, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Usually
Yeah.
the answers are so settling and calming and simple. But
Yeah,
we,
thank
if
you.
we don't close the loop, we're going to repeat them and we're going to repeat those questions in our head. And like you said, we're going to spiral out on them.
Yes.
And when you spiral out and you create all this energy in your body and you get anxious and you get upset and all those things, your body is going to be like, something is wrong. We've got to, we, w something's wrong. We've got to fix this, right? Then we have a glass of wine or we have a candy bar or something like that, rather when we could just answer the question.
Yeah, okay. That makes so much sense because I did a lot of work when she was going for surgery, but I did the answer was we can worry about it. We trust in the her doctors. But I'm like, I've got no one to trust but myself. But yeah, answering the question makes sense. Thank you.
Do you trust yourself?
I do.
To raise a sweet girl?
I sure do. She's got the right mom. Sorry, this AirPod keeps falling
It's
out. I
okay.
hope you can still hear me.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got the right mom. I will do whatever she needs.
Oh, what a beautiful thought.
Yeah, I'm very lucky to have her. She was our miracle baby. We couldn't have babies. We gave up on IVF and we fell pregnant.
Well,
So she
what
is
a
my miracle baby.
Yeah, what a beautiful thought. She's got the right mom.
She sure does. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You feel
I feel
better?
so much better. So
Oh
much better.
gosh. Oh, that's
I
amazing.
know. I write in my journal every morning. My goal isn't to lose weight, it's to feel my emotions. So then I don't eat over my emotions and weight loss will follow because
Yes.
that is my goal. And I've gotten pretty good at most areas. Just when it comes to her, I was very good at catastrophizing, but I'm going to close the loop now.
Yeah, close your loops. See if that doesn't help a little bit. And when you're feeling your emotions, don't just name them. Actually, like, drop into your body and figure out, where is this showing up in my body? Because
Okay.
when you're, let's say you're feeling, I'll go back to anxious. When I feel anxious, my heartbeat gets a little bit faster, my skin prickles, I have these little body sensations. And when I sit here with it and I think, is this all anxious does in my body? Well, maybe this isn't so bad. Maybe I can manage anxious without having to distract from it. So
Yeah, okay.
when you're learning to feel your feelings, if you will drop into your body, it will help you normalize how it feels and help you like get to know yourself in a different way. And then you add on that closing your loops, girl, you're cooking with hot grease, as we would say
I'm
in
so
the South.
excited. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your help today.
You're very welcome. See you soon.
See ya.
All right. Let's see. Okay. Awesome. That worked. I was afraid since I clicked the wrong button. Audrey, you are next.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Yesterday I was not. We have had several, but
Uh-oh.
she's 20, and so it's pretty much an empty nest. So I've had to kind of recalibrate. Who am I? And I've kind of sort of figured that out, but we went through 2 years of extra money, not a lot, but just, not paying for anyone's school, not, a lot of groceries. And so to get self-care, I added some expenses. I took a tap class. I was getting monthly massages and I was getting my nails done. Well, we've had a setback, a big surprise, and so it's going to take us another 6 to 12 weeks to even back out. So I've dropped those things. So now I went into this, I stopped the spiral and I listened to your call with Lisa on the ninth. So and you were talking about, no, I don't know. I have so many notes. I don't know what I heard, but someone was talking about stopping the cycle, and stopping the pattern. And so I stopped and said, wait just a minute. Your no BS is taking care of yourself. That is some self-care. You are, I have now made exercise 3 to 5 times a week a habit. That's taking care of yourself. And you're getting cognitive therapy. That's taking care of yourself. So just because you're not spending money on some what would be normally considered a luxury, I kind of stopped that cycle. But yesterday I had a huge trigger, just with the whole financial surprise, and I began to pan totally forgot. Oh, you could put your hand on your heart. I totally forgot that. So solved the issue, called a friend, ranted and raved to a friend, and went back to, because this whole thing started, I was headed to the gym. Okay. So went back to the gym and got on the bike. And of course, the anger gave me a new personal record. But I guess my question to you is, am I on the right track of stopping? I'm just learning all these things. And the weight is coming off because slowly it is coming off, and I'm trying to recognize the wins. So I'm trying to think that yesterday, even though it was the most emotional day ever, but maybe it was a win after all. Because I did exercise. I could have eaten easily. I grabbed a protein shake, took 2 hours to go solve the financial issue, and then went back to the gym. Ordinarily, I would have just gone head first in food and dealt with that. I don't really even know what my question is, other than, am I kind of on the right track? It was Corinne. It was last Wednesday's call. I'm listening to it, but I just heard it this morning. Do you close off or open up when things are hard for you? I usually close off. I usually hide in my shell. I don't celebrate. I woe is me. And how do you take care of yourself? And so I guess I'm questioning, am I taking care of myself?
You tell me, does it feel like you're taking care of yourself?
It was really hard to take the nails off because I've always said, we're fine, but if it ever gets bad, I can always drop the nails. I'm not sure why the TV just came on. I had it on mute. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it's
Okay,
fine. I can't hear the TV.
so it's distracting me. So I'm
So
going to
you tell
walk.
me, if we go back to, you fell back, you regrouped after a financial situation,
Right.
you got angry, you connected with a friend, you went to the gym, or you got upset. You didn't say angry, you said upset.
Right.
Do you feel like you took care of yourself yesterday?
Yes. But I think what is bothering me is that it's so new. It's such a new, and when you are establishing that new, it feels wrong.
Yeah. Well, it
So,
feels different. I wouldn't say it feels wrong,
correct. But like
but
when I had to set some boundaries with someone, and because that's not a habit, the boundaries, I felt like, oh, I've hurt their feelings. Well, there was nothing wrong with what I said. It was a boundary. And so then I started taking on their, oh, what do they think of me? And I could literally feel myself spiraling. I
Yeah.
wrestle with depression anyway. And so I feel like yesterday was a win.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Audrey. You have to, if you feel like it was a win, then it was a win. What I would do in a situation, I'd tell you all the things I would do in that situation. Which, by the way, would be probably exactly what you did.
Oh, okay.
But just because I did them and or I would do them for my situation doesn't make them right for you. What's right for you is what feels right to you. Okay? So you had this situation, you set this boundary, you called a friend. That's connection. That's one of the five core pillars. Right? That's connection. You've probably felt better after you talked to that person. You probably started feeling better because you were getting all that out of your system. And they created a space for you that you felt comfortable talking into, right? Then you went one step further and you said, I haven't been to the gym today. I'm going to the gym. I'm going to go get on the treadmill, right?
A bike.
Oh, bike.
I have a
Yeah.
bad knee, so you
Girl,
know
me
that.
too.
You know that.
I
So,
like that. I like the bike too.
okay.
So, and then you set a record. And now you're here and you're checking in. And the answer really is within yourself. If you feel like you felt better, if you managed it in a way that feels good to you, then you're clicking on all eight. That's
Okay.
ex yeah.
So, did I stop that? Corinne's talking about how do you talk to yourself after a mistake? She said, do you eat your face off, beat yourself up, drum up anxiety, and then start over? Is this your pattern? And she said, ask yourself these questions and then contact coaches to help you see if you're stopping the pattern.
Do you feel like you stopped it?
Yeah, but I kind of just need somebody to say, yeah.
How
I'm
about
not
if I
quite.
tell you, if you tell me you felt like you stopped the pattern because I'm not in your body and I'm not in your brain, then I trust you that you absolutely did stop the pattern.
Okay.
That you stopped that spiral. Now, are you in the spiral again today?
No.
And it sounds to me like you did everything you needed to do to take care of yourself.
Okay. So maybe I am taking care of myself, even though I'm not spending money on my nails.
Girl, me too. I don't have any nails right now either. And I don't know. I took mine off when I had my knees replaced. I don't know that I'm going to put them back on.
Well,
I'm trying to decide.
I think my biggest anger yesterday was I'm this close to being at a point where I can do personal coaching. And yesterday surprise knocked that back a lot longer than I wanted it to. And so, I mean, everybody has financial surprises. This economy is difficult sometimes. So, that's just life. But it was something I was really looking forward to, is
Well,
I'm going to sign up for
and
personal coaching.
but look at what you did. Not only did you take care of yourself yesterday, after you got the financial surprise, you co-regulated with someone through connection, you exercised, you interrupted your pattern, and you got on a call tonight with someone who does private coaching.
I know when you said no one had raised their hand, I was like, oh, get inside
Right,
fast.
exactly. So, even though there's a few people here who, by the way, think you're amazing, you need to look at the chat when you're done.
Know how to do that, but I'll figure it out.
Even though there are a few people here, you're getting the clarity that you need to take your next step. And girl, private coaching is not going away.
No, it's not. Is someone else waiting in line? Because I have
Yeah,
another
there's a
question.
couple people,
Okay,
but
well,
if you have something
then
else, go ahead.
it's just real short. And I think it was you and Lisa on a Facebook Live. I don't know.
Yeah,
Sometime
Lisa
in
and
the
I did
last,
Facebook Live on Monday. Yeah.
sometime, it wasn't that one, but at some point in the last couple of weeks, I know it was Lisa, and I think she was with you. Someone asked a question. I think it was actually Karen Brent asked a question about sweets. Okay, I am trying to have them in the house and not eat them. Having success. Was that you that said that? That sugar can mask itself as a fake
Dopamine.
dopamine.
Yeah.
So what's the best way, and I don't want to take up too much time with others meeting it, and what's the best way to Is it just the effort sheet and kind of start back over with that one that's bothered, with that sweet? It's this time of year. And at work, I'm a school teacher, so everybody brings you a mug of candy or something. And so I wrote on my plan, my accountability partner and I said, what are we going to do? Because she's a hairdresser, she gets the same thing. And I said, I'm going to write small treat in my snack every day till school's out. And I'm not going to feel guilty. So I got a whole thing, it's like a 4-pack of chocolate, and I ate two. I was like, small treat. I wanted ice cream tonight, and I said, no, you had your small treat. Ice cream's not on your plan. Is it just a habit that has to happen?
Yeah, probably some, but I'm going to give you a couple of tips, okay? On these small treats, if there's some consistency about them, you could do the Effort Foods worksheet for sure. Okay. But here's what I want to offer you. If you've got all these treats coming in because you're a teacher, you get to decide what goes in. Just because somebody brings you some chow chow or some, chocolate cookies or something like that doesn't mean they're good and doesn't mean they're worthy of going into your body.
My accountability partner said, just pretend it's somebody who didn't wash their hands and they've got pets all over the kitchen counter.
Girl, I do that. I totally do that. I think about, I don't know. This is homemade. I don't know what their kitchen looks like. I don't know if they wash their hands. I do. I think about that because I don't want to get sick. All right. But here's the thing. I like this concept called the velvet rope. Okay. The velvet rope. And for anybody who doesn't know, have you ever seen one of those, high dollar nightclubs that has the bouncer and there's that velvet rope that, only people with certain tickets can cross the velvet rope? I want you to think about the food going in as whether or not it passes your velvet rope.
That
Okay.
has worked in the past to have me stop something. Like, oh,
So,
here's dessert. We're eating. Wait a minute. This is not good. Stop.
yeah. I have a private client who says, if it's not a hell yeah, it's a hell no. And that's so good for this time of year. If you take a bite of something and it tastes like sawdust, you don't have to finish it. It can go straight into the trash can. If you take a bite of something and it's like, well, I could have this any day, straight into the trash can. If you take a bite of something that like lights you up and is the best thing you've ever put in your mouth, you might finish that one. So on your plan where you have small treat, is that what you said? Small treat? Small treat that passes the velvet rope. Okay.
Add that to the plan.
And if there's anything else that comes into your sphere, into your classroom, into your house, there's nothing wrong with throwing it in the trash if it's not passing your velvet rope or someone else's in your house or someone else's velvet rope in your house. Okay. You can be grateful that they thought about you and not eat it. Isn't that beautiful? How's that sound?
But to be honest with you, I do not keep every mug every year that every kid gives
Oh,
to
if you don't keep every mug, you don't have to keep every piece of cookie and candy
me.
either,
I
too,
would have
right?
to have a whole garage for all my mugs.
Right.
So I'll just turn on the chat and I can see it when we're done. Is that what you're saying?
Sweet. Yeah.
Thank you so
Okay.
much.
You're
Thank you.
welcome. Take care. Two. Okay. Deborah Page, you are next. That velvet rope, I tell you. The more I thought about it, the more I thought this. Not everything. Not everything has to go in this mouth of mine. Not everything. Hello.
Hi, Kathy.
How are you?
I'm all right. The light's really bad. I'm really sorry. It wasn't,
That's
I didn't know
okay.
it was this bad. It's late here. It's like after 11, so
Oh my goodness, where are you?
Northeast England.
Oh my goodness. All the internationals today. What can I do for you?
I was debating going to bed, and then I was like, I said, I want to get up and see if I can get on the coaching call.
Well, I'm glad
I
you
think
did.
my accountability group said I should get on a call with you. So, and then I looked and there was one today and I was like, yay. So, I've had some sort of medical stuff going on. I went to the doctors. I'm 42 and on HRT. And I went to the doctors for a review. And also I'd had some heartburn and things. And she decided to send me for a gastroscopy on a cancer pathway, but she wasn't concerned that it really concerned it was cancer. It's just that's the way it gets kind of assessed. And before I went for that appointment, they did some blood tests and it sort of flagged a whole bunch of stuff that out in a way that I completely wasn't expecting at all. So I was at the doctor's not last week, but the week before, and then some of the blood tests came back last Monday, and one of them came back with a marker for ovarian cancer. Now, having read some stuff before I then went to see the doctor last week, like the GP, it's probably unlikely that it is that. I was on my period when the blood tests were taken, and apparently that can elevate this protein and various bits and pieces. But I did last week. I freaked out quite a lot, and put on like sort of stopped eating for a few days, not completely, but like I really didn't want to eat anything. I just wasn't hungry. And I was trying to sort of go, well, eat when you're hungry, stop when you've had enough and things, but I just wasn't hungry and that was fine. And then from I went so I sort of went home from work early on Tuesday because I was going to the doctor's anyway, but it was all just a bit I went sooner than I was going to because I was struggling. And then the Wednesday I went back to work and Thursday I had the gastroscopy. I don't know. So I had a lot of distractions through to Saturday. And I'm getting to the point. Because from Sunday, I sort of was a bit less busy. I was still very busy, but with more headspace. And since then, I found it difficult to not eat. I've gone the other way, but not really. Like, I haven't been in a full on binging. It's just more, going back, and I think it feels like excuses. I think there's a mixture of things. Like, I know I'm above home base, because I've listened to quite a few of your calls and things. Well, just lots of calls generally. Like, I can tell I'm doing stuff. I do stuff with my breathing automatically. I'm not doing it deliberately, but I am. I don't necessarily feel necessary that I'm bad feeling bad at that time, but then I find that I go and sort of like, and I go, oh, I'm doing that breathing thing again.
That's your body regulating, yeah, for
Yeah.
sure. So tell me what the facts are. What are the facts?
The fact that there's not very many facts. The facts are that's the thing that the facts are that I had a and because I've got early perimenopause, and I had some stuff around my cycle. I had an ultrasound 18 months ago that was clear. So if anything's happened ovarian wise, it's highly unlikely to be bad.
Okay, so ultrasound 18 months ago, diagnosed with perimenopause, right?
Yes.
HRT. You said HRT?
Yeah, I've been on
Hormone
HRT for
therapy?
about 18 months as well. It
Okay.
was just before my ultrasound
And you've
that
had the gastro test?
yes, but then oh, that's the other that's actually part of the thing that's freaking me out. So I had a gastroscopy last Thursday, but you have to wait for 6 hours before having it without eating, and that was fine. But when they got into my stomach, there was still a lot of food there. And started looking to see about why there would be too much food and various things, and that's made me sort of distrust my body in my hunger in enough. But I don't know why really, but I was like, but I was hungry on the way to the hospital. I felt hungry, but your stomach is meant to empty after about 4 hours, and mine was 8 hours and hadn't emptied. And I was like, I mean, I did have a fairly big meal, don't get me wrong, because I knew I wasn't going to be eating from 9:30 in the morning.
But what do you make that mean? Why is that a problem?
I think I'm making that mean a combination of things. Sometimes I'm making it mean that I'm feeling hungry, but I'm not really hungry because there's still probably food in my stomach. Or the opposite, that I don't feel hungry and I feel full, but that's because my stomach's stupid and isn't getting, passing the food on to my small intestine fast enough, and therefore, I should just eat more because, my
Okay.
body obviously doesn't know what it's doing anyway.
Okay, so you had one test and you have gone totally distrustful of your body. What if we decide that that was an anomaly? And there might have been a few crumbs in there, but that's not a big deal. Maybe that's just your unique physiology.
Or
Is that
maybe it was just a
possible?
heavy meal in one day.
Maybe it was a heavy meal. Maybe you hadn't pooped in a couple of days and you were backed up. There's no telling that we could come up with 100 different reasons that that happened. Okay. But that none of those really needs to lead you to distrusting hunger and enough. Okay.
So this is why I keep telling myself it's nonsense, like that it's bullshit. And because I was listening to No Excuses the other month, and I'm like, these are just your excuses. But then
Well,
there's a part of me going, I don't care.
so I don't know if it's an excuse, because to me, an excuse is a justification. I think what you've done is you've taken one situation and made it a catastrophe with just with the gastro thing, not even talking about the ovarian stuff, okay? But you likely did that because of the other, because your brain was already in the state of catastrophizing. So let's separate the two, and we'll put the assessment for cancer. We'll put that on the shelf, and we'll just talk about this little bit of food that was left in your stomach after a few hours. Is that really a big deal?
I don't know, there's part of my brain that's going, it is a big deal. There was still loads. They said there's
Use
too much food and
the logical
blah,
part of your brain, not the freaked out part of your brain. Okay. It's probably not a big deal. If it is, someone will tell you. All right. There's no need in barring trouble here. That's what we call it here in the South. We call it barring trouble, borrowing trouble, barring trouble.
Hypothetical hell is what Corinne calls it now, isn't it? I like
Yeah.
that
Yeah.
as well.
Hypothetical hell is a little bit more colorful than barring trouble, that's for sure. So honestly, I would table the gastro thing. And just say that I have no idea why it was in there. I may never know. But for now, let's just trust hunger and enough and see what happens. Okay. Now, as for the other that you were also catastrophizing, right? Because first thing you did
I've
was went to the
calmed down a
Googles.
bit on that. I mean, I really went to town on that brief. I well, no, I allow actually, I think I feel like I was relatively sensible with this, but it still trickles on in the back of my head a little bit. Is I kind of allowed myself to think through all the things that I was freaking out about, and the absolute end conclusions and stuff, and then kind of went, okay, yeah, that's what you're frightened of, but those aren't likely, and sort of had a bit cry and stuff, and then moved on a bit from that.
So the important thing when you're dealing with a situation like that with some uncertainty is to create as much certainty as you can. That's why I asked you, what are the facts? Okay, that's the certainty. What are the facts? If you get a report back, when you get a report back on your ultrasound, you'll have more facts.
Yeah.
Okay. Thinking about what might happen in the future, I had this conversation with Corinne one time because I was totally all in on justifying the catastrophizing. Okay. Justifying the catastrophizing. Yeah, but if I think about all the things that could go wrong, I'll be ready. No, you won't. You won't be ready.
No.
You will still be hit with something that you don't know what to do with.
Yeah.
And you want to go to the Googles and get all the answers. And you're
Yeah.
not supposed to do that and all the things. So, yeah. So, what I would do if I were you, if you have the urge to research, I would call your doctor's office and say, give me a reliable website to read about this.
Yeah.
Okay. So, facts again. If
Yeah.
you go to a reliable website, you're going to get more factual information rather than
Yeah.
random Googles or somebody who's created a Facebook I'm in this knee replacement Facebook group. Nobody ever posts about how good they're doing. Everybody's got infections and can't bend their leg and standing on their head. I mean, terrible things are happening. I had to get out of that group
Yeah.
because it was like getting on the Googles and just
Yeah.
reading about everything terrible that can happen. I
Yeah.
was like, oh no, this is not good for me.
Yeah.
So that's what I want for you. I want you to surround yourself with reliable information, not speculation.
Yeah.
Okay? Because speculation will only increase your anxiety
Yeah.
because that's your open loops. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I've
Yeah.
been on, so you may not know, we've had the National Health Service, so the NHS has its own website. And I've used that tends to be where I start off, and I sometimes go on to other things, but they tend, referring back to that. I think it's just like you say, there's so much uncertainty. At least one of the things that's been uncertain has been when I was going to be booked in for the second ultrasound, like the new the an updated ultrasound. But I've now got a date for that. That's on Monday, and I've got another gastroscopy on Thursday. So tomorrow night I'm only allowed to have soup for my tea, and then I have to fast for 60 hours.
Well, that's the beautiful thing. They say we need another gastroscopy on you because your stomach didn't empty the first time.
Yeah.
So they weren't worried. They just like, we want
No.
a good test.
I wasn't worried at first, and then I did start. I went, oh, it's actually a thing. Oh, and you, because I, oh, yeah. My mum started that as well. Was there a reason? And I was like, no. And then I started to think, oh, maybe there was a reason. Oh, no, there's a whole thing. It's actually a thing, not having your stomach empty very fast. Oh. I
Well,
need to speak to the actual doctor about that, though, just
yeah,
generally.
and exactly. And so that would be your next step. If you find that that is your thing, do you think you can figure it out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you tell yourself. I will talk to the doctor, and together I know we will figure out whatever we need to figure out, which may be nothing, and that would
Yeah.
be okay too.
I think it's just there's so many things that are not like they're just so vague and possibly interlinked, because I have they found on these blood tests that my folate levels are low, and they prescribed me like folic acid that's the 10 times the strength that you would take in pregnancy. But when I said, but my diet's pretty good, I eat plenty fresh fruit and vegetables, I don't understand. Like, I'd started going to fairly decent websites to try and calculate how many folates I was taking in a day, because I was like, I don't, this just doesn't make any sense to me. And the doctor was like, well, we'll do a blood test for celiac disease, but if it's not that, then we just tend to go down to diet. And and you're going, no, but it isn't. I know it's not. Hell, that. And that's another thing that flags up cancer on their list. That was the
NHS website again, it was kind of like, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this, it could be cancer. Oh, right.
Yeah, you know, if you look on any list, it could be
no,
this,
no.
it could be this, it's one of them's going to be cancer. It just is. And then we have this preconceived notion that cancer is, you know, terrible, horrible, whatever.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. I've had cancer.
No.
Looking pretty good, aren't I?
Yes. Very good.
I mean, so seriously, this is the conversation you need to have with yourself. When if you need to picture me sitting across the table from you or on the couch with you saying, okay, can you figure it out? Yes, I can. Well, what will you do if you find out this? Well, I'll do X, Y, Z. You need to have those conversations with yourself, just like I was telling Audrey in the call before you. What if questions need to be answered? And if you are stressed out by looking at that National Health website, stop looking at it.
Yeah.
Wait to hear from your doctor who knows you, not some great big population of people where the percentages might be this and that.
Yeah.
Your doctor is looking at your case. Mm-hmm. And you ask that doctor as many questions as you need so that you can get the clarity that you need to bring your nervous system back down and to move into action. Because that's what home base is. It's a place where you feel safe and controlled and you have clarity. And you can make good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So whatever you can do to achieve those things, closing loops, talking to the doctor, breathing, hand on your heart, whatever it needs to be, it's what you need to do so that you can evaluate whatever the doctor says and make your next decisions.
Mm-hmm.
That make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think part of my worry is that I'm going to get answers on the stomach thing and the ultrasound, but then there's going to be other things. I just need to deal with the uncertainty and the. I feel like it's just like the folate thing. Sorry, is just going to be left nebulous and like.
I think what you tell yourself is, "I'm going to get answers, and then I'm going to decide.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get guidance and then I'm going to decide." Yeah. Don't speculate on what the answers or the guidance might be.
Yeah.
You are unique and your doctor has your case in mind. Okay. Do you trust your doctor?
Mostly.
Mostly.
The problem is we have it's a general practice. I don't see the same doctor very often.
Yeah, they're but they're looking, whoever it is looking at your case file.
Yeah, they are. I think it's just because she basically said, well, we just kind of, we'll rule out celiac disease. And I was like, I don't have celiac. I'd almost bet my house on it were I able to afford to lose it and the small chance that I would lose it, you know, like that I don't. So it's sort of, where do we go from there? And she was kind of like, oh, you know, and you're like, oh. Good, right? I don't know why I'm fixating on that. I think I'm fixating on that because there's just everything. There's the stomach not emptying properly. Well, is that linked to that? Is it something else? Is it something else? Is it something else entirely?
Yeah, and this is so interesting. You're saying your stomach isn't emptying properly, like it's a fact.
Yeah.
You don't know that.
It didn't one time.
Or it didn't, what it didn't do one time is empty in the amount of time you thought it should empty.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose it's one of the only facts I've got. That's part of the problem is I'm still in this nebulous, no fact state, waiting for appointments, for information.
It was so nebulous that the doctor decided to repeat the test.
Yeah.
Right? Which is a good thing. And honestly, that's what we want. We want them to pursue whatever is going on.
Yes.
You know, I was telling somebody in the Facebook group just maybe yesterday, maybe last week, I don't remember. She'd gone in, she got an abnormal mammogram. And I'm like, isn't that why you get mammograms? So you can see if there's an abnormality that needs to be taken care of? That's what I would tell you. That's why you're going to the doctor. That's why you're having another test.
Yeah.
Because If there is an abnormality, you want to be able to address it. And if there's not, then you're going to end up with peace of mind both ways, right? So bring yourself back into the present, focus on what you know, and don't take one test. That's why when you have an abnormal mammogram, they don't send you to an oncologist. They do a biopsy. Right? That's why we go through this series of things, because at any point in the steps, you could be sent home going, Deborah, you're fine. Your brain is always looking for problems. You have to intentionally look for the other side. And that's what you're not doing right now. You're not intentionally saying, I can figure this out. I trust myself. I trust my medical practice. I'm having another test. We're going to figure this out. And then we're going to move on to whatever the next thing is. You have to do that on purpose because your brain is not going to do that automatically. Okay? So that's how I want you talking to yourself. Answer back that brain that's freaking out over here with, we got this. We're going to figure this out. In fact, I get to do 16 hours of just soup. Yay. So that we can figure this out.
16 hours of nothing.
Oh, of nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, that's like colonoscopy prep over here, girl.
Yeah, it would be if I, but I would, yeah, I'm not.
Sounds like a
I'm
good
just,
opportunity to weigh to me.
yeah. That'll be Friday morning. This is Thursday morning, so I'll be like, yeah. Because after I had it last time, I was just not really that bothered about eating for a bit. And then I was like, actually, all the
You just take care of that brain of yours
food.
so that you can logically ask questions and gain the clarity that you need. Okay? Tell lots of deep breathing.
Yes, I need to do probably more breathing on purpose rather than it just sort of like deciding to do it like that.
Yeah, for sure. All right? Okay.
Thank you.
You
Thanks,
take
Kathy.
care. All
You
right.
too. Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, I'm going to check these questions real quick, see what's going on in the Q&A. Can you make the speakers side by side, not back and forth? I wish. I tried. I figured I hit a bad button at the beginning, messed it up. I apologize. Sorry. I really am. I'm 7 pounds from the 300-pound mark. Congratulations. Never did I think I'd ever be here. Food just tastes so good in the moment, and I don't care. Where do I start? Anonymous. Start with, am I hungry? Yes, food tastes good. Food is engineered to taste good. It just does. You can enjoy the taste, enjoy the texture when you're hungry. There's nothing wrong with enjoying your food. It's using food to satisfy other levels of satisfaction or enjoyment. It's where we go wrong. So when you're eating, enjoy your food, but eat when you're hungry and stop when you've had enough. Okay? If you are, you didn't give me a lot here. You asked me where to start. That's where I would start. If you are using food to soothe emotions, then I would suggest that you use the tool called pause plus permission, in which you tell yourself, all right, you can eat, but for 10 minutes, we're going to do something else first instead to make ourselves feel better, whether it's take a shower, do some deep breathing, go hug your dog, step outside, whatever it is. Give yourself 10 minutes to figure it out first before you eat. Those are my two tips for you. Okay. How do you relax and calm yourself when you disagree with the way your son and daughter-in-law are raising their children? I just spent a week with them babysitting my grandchildren, and it was rough. That's a really good question. The way we were raised, this is how I think about this. And I don't have your name, it just says iPhone. I want to just call you iPhone, but the way we were raised was reflective of society and culture when we were raised. The way our grandchildren are being raised is reflective of a different type of society and culture. If you think about, I am almost 59 years old. Okay. I'm getting ready in a couple of days to start my 60th year. Holy moly. When I was a kid, things were different. My parents were different. Society was different. Cultural norms were different. So I think about those things and I move into when I can create a thought like that. In fact, my son told me this one time. He was a teenager. And I told him, I said, "Greg, I know exactly what you're going through." And he said, "Mom, you don't." He was so wise as a teenager. He said, "You don't know what I'm going through. Things are different than they were when you were a kid." And I have always held on to that. I have held on to that. Plus, I have decided, and this is what I would suggest to you, to trust my boys to raise their children appropriately. It may not be the same way I would raise them, but they have different tools, they have different responses, they have different education than I had. So I have decided to trust them. And that's what calms and relaxes me. So that's what I would offer to you. If you need more help, come to Ask Coaches, okay? Oh, my name is Kathy, like yours. Does that help? Kathy, you can give me a thumbs up. You can answer me in the chat. But I think that's where we are. You know, good, I got a thumbs up. Discipline is different. Society is different. I mean, when's the first time you had a cell phone? I mean, I was adult. I had kids before I ever got a cell phone. Kids have cell phones now in the fifth and sixth grade. That change, it's just different. So if you can access trust, then that will calm you. And you can, one of my favorite things to do, I love it when my grandkids come to visit, and I love it when they leave because they are then entrusted to my son's care, my son and his wife. And that's okay. That is A-okay because I trust that they're doing the best that they can do. Make sense? All right. If I did not get to you tonight, I am so sorry. Please come over to Ask Coaches with whatever questions you might have. And, you know, we're in there, I don't know, it feels like 24/7, but every day, we're in there every day. And I'm happy to help you with whatever you need. Okay? All right. I think that is it. I hope you have a great night, and I will see you all very soon. Take care.